Thank God for his protection, for his rest that he gives us. Amen. What a blessing to see your face this morning. Hallelujah. Be in the house of the Lord. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter number 5. Revelation, chapter number 5. Several weeks ago, we preached a message, actually a couple of messages, on the subject of the lamb that was killed. John looked at the throne, turned around to see a lamb as if it had been slain. It was not dead, but it looked like it had been there. It looked like it had been killed. Of course, that's significant. This morning we're going to look at the lion that was king. The lion that was king. Now, the book of Revelation, as we said before, is a portrait being drawn of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. The book begins in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the title of the book is Revelation, not Revelations. But there are a lot of revelations in it, amen? And every one of those reveal the person or the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. It covers not only his first coming, where he came as a lamb, but it covers his second coming, where he will return as a lion. Amen? Amen. And so he paints this picture for us, and the word revelation literally means to pull back a curtain. I remember years ago when I was a child in Gulfport, Mississippi, there were three movie theaters in Gulfport, and they were only like one block apart apiece. Two of them were all right. They weren't that nice. They had wood seats. They were kind of hard. But there was one theater called the Paramount. It was located right next to an F.W. Woolworth. How many remember what an F.W. Woolworth? Yeah, I like to see y'all. I like to identify. But now this theater, the Paramount, I mean, it was plush. The moment you came in to go up the steps, it was a red, beautiful carpet. Down the aisles to the seats was red, beautiful carpet. And the seats were all cushioned with a thick, red, beautiful cushion. It was really a comfortable theater. It was the classy theater in Gulfport, Mississippi. And it also had a red curtain, a thick velvet-looking curtain. It was beautiful with gold trim. And when it came time for that movie to start, that curtain would roll back like this and show you the screen. Well, that's what the word apocalypsis, from which we get our word revelation, literally means. To unveil something by removing the curtain that is hindering you from seeing it. Amen? And so, you know, a lot of people read the book of Revelation and they say, I'm confused. Well, join the club. It is not an easy book to understand, but it is a specific book for a specific time. It's for the last days. And those that are alive in the days that are about to come upon planet Earth, days that Jesus said there's never been any as bad as these will be, and there will never ever again be any days as bad as those days, about to come upon us, amen. Those people during that time, they'll be able to see very plain about the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at that second aspect of the coming of Jesus Christ. What was the great flaw in Hebrew theology when it came to prophecy and their Messiah? It was this. They could only see one coming of their Messiah. And they looked for him to come as the lion. and not as the Lamb. You see, it's like looking at two mountains. One's behind the other. All you see is one mountain, one peak. There's a valley in between. And you can't see the mountain that's in the back. They could not see that there were two comings of the Messiah. But there were two different descriptions of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Amen. He was pictured as the suffering servant and the sovereign king. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's coming a time before too long when their eyes are going to be opened over there in the land of Israel. And they will understand that Jesus Christ the Lamb was the Lion King that they looked for in all of their history. Amen. And so he's pictured both ways. Jesus is pictured as a lamb in his first coming. He's pictured as a lion in his second coming. Jesus as the Lamb, he came in meekness. But Jesus as the Lion will come in might. He came the first time as a lamb, and it speaks of the grace of God. When he returns as a lion, we will see enforced and instituted the government of God. As the Lamb, we see the passion of Christ. As the Lion, we see the prevailing of the Christ. As the Lamb, he's the Savior, but as the Lion, he is the sovereign. As the Lamb, he was judged. But as the Lion, he will be judged. Hallelujah. Now, most of us here today, I don't know what kind of phobias you have, you're probably not afraid of a lamb. Probably think they're cute. But I would say that most of us are afraid of a lion. True? Amen. I'll never forget years ago, my boy was, well, they weren't even in school. They were real small. And we were in this church and the preacher was preaching and he was talking about warning people. Warning them about hell and about judgment to come. And he said, none of you would allow any of your loved ones to go out that back door. You would not go out that back door back there if you knew there was a lion out there. My little nephew was standing up on the seat right there near me. And he said, I would. Of course, that got a lot of life. But let me tell you something. There was something a little prophetic about that, because that's the way he lived his life. And it's what cost him his life. Amen. So the point I'm trying to make is this. There is a reason to fear a lion. Amen. Now, a lion in the Middle East, he weighed about 565 pounds. He was around 8 feet long and he could leap 20 feet in distance. He had 16 claws and any swipe of his paw could kill you. Similar to that of a bear. So, you did not want to tangle with a lion. Amen. And so I'm glad that the Lamb has made us a way to come to God and find peace and the rest that our sister sang about. Amen. So that we would not have to suffer the devouring of the lion. Let's read, if you will, Revelation chapter 5. Let's read the first 5 verses and talk about the lion that was king. And I saw. Now, I want to give you a little clue about the book of Revelation. I read all these commentaries. I see all these preachers on TV. And they talk about the intent of John. Why John wrote the book of Revelation. And my friend, that has no place in the argument. Let me tell you what the book of Revelation is. It is what John saw. What he just said. And it's what he heard. Nothing more and nothing less. And I have no reason to believe that John understood everything that he saw or everything that he heard any more than Daniel understood the visions of mystery that he saw. So he had no purpose in writing the book. It's not the revelation of St. John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to his churches to give to who? I mean, to his servants to give to the churches. Amen. And he gave them 7 present messages for the churches which were in Asia. Today, all of those churches would be in what we know as Turkey. If you look at where John was on the Isle of Patmos and follow the pattern of those churches, they literally form a horseshoe inside the nation of Turkey. Now, from chapter 4 on, all of the what is known as apocalyptic imagery is like drawing that portrait to reveal God's purpose, God's work, and those things that are yet to come upon the earth. Amen? He broke it down this way in Revelation chapter 1. He described the message of this book this way. Tell them about this, the things that are. Amen? And the things that shall be after this. Amen. And so, why would God give a book to seven churches that primarily was Jewish? See, that's a big problem we have. A lot of people believe that the message of Revelation is written to the church, which all the Bible is written to the church, but that it has nothing to do with the Jew, and the presence of the Jew in the land of Israel today has no relevance to the Bible. I could claw my eyes out. That is absolutely false and not true. It's because they don't know what to do with the book. Let me tell you what to do with the book of Revelation. Let it say what it's got to say. Believe it and listen to it. And whether you understand it or not, it will come to pass. But if you'll just look long enough, you'll see a picture. You know, Paul talked one time about us seeing through a glass darkly. I may not see everything perfect in the book of Revelation, but son, I see enough to tell you that it's not going to be a good time. Amen? We better get back to Scripture. Verse 1. And I saw, John said, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book, a scroll written within on the backside and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man, the expression really is nobody, whether angel, man, or cherub, or any other creature, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Here's John's reaction to that. There used to be an old gospel group sang a song. The title of that song was this, I Want to Know. Some of you may remember it. Amen. John wanted to know so bad that, friend, he was weeping. And that's what he said. And I wept much. Now, that doesn't mean that a tear ran down his cheek. It means that he wept openly and bitterly because nobody was found worthy to open or loose the seals thereof. Amen. And so he wept much in verse 4 because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to even look at this thing. They did not have the authority. And one of the elders, we dealt with that in the previous message, if you need to go back and listen to that. One of the elders saith unto me, what did he say? Don't cry. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals there. Just a reminder, he turned. What did he turn to see? What was he looking for when he turned? The elder told him that a lion had prevailed, the Lion of Judah. But when he turned, what did he see? He saw a lamb. What did the lion do in all of this? Search the whole book. You won't find the lion doing anything. We'll deal with that a little bit later on in the message. But here's what I want you to see about this lion that was king. First, let's look at the reality of the comforting of the lion. John was weeping, but the elder came to him, and his message was, weep not. Don't cry. There is somebody who's worthy to open the seals of the book. Amen. Well, who is it? I can hear John say, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Hallelujah. You see, John got comfort in the words that there was a lion. Now, we know we're not talking about a literal lion. We're looking at apocalyptic imagery. It's Jesus as a lion. Jesus portrayed as a lamb. Common sense will tell you that. Amen. And so there was comfort in their words, in his words, that there was a lion who was able to take care of the situation. So there was comfort, if you will, in the presence of the lion.
Well,
I wouldn't take much comfort in the presence of a lion, would you? But now you've got to remember, John's not on earth when he sees all this. Where is he at? He's in heaven. He's got a ringside seat, amen. He's in a, what do they call that rich people's guy? A box? Skybox, they've got something they look at. He's got the best view that an individual could have, amen. And so there, why would there be comfort in the presence of the lion? It wouldn't be ordinarily, would they? For most people. There's two people who took comfort in the presence of a lion. Number one, the ones who can take comfort in the lion's presence is his cubs. I like to watch nature shows. You can't watch them no more because all they got on there is I married eight wives or my children are renegade. I don't know. There's just nothing but junk, naked in the jungle and all that kind of stuff. You can't find good nature programs anymore. But I've watched a lot about lions and what they do with their own cubs and how they teach them. And they have a tender side, amen. So guess what? Guess who don't have to fear a lion, amen? His young. Hallelujah. Thank God. He may be a lion, amen. But I want you to know he's my lion. Hallelujah. I'm his child, I'm his cub, and I can take comfort, amen, in the presence of that lion. Now, up until I was 9 years old, I think we moved every time the rent was due. I don't know, but I know I lived all over the city of Gulfport. I went to every elementary school there is in the city of Gulfport. I didn't have a daddy. I lived a very insecure life. But when I was 9 years old, my mama married my stepdaddy. Now my stepdaddy, he's my father. That's what I call him. That's what he was. He was not like most stepdaddies. A lot of times between stepfathers and a woman's son that she had before she married him, there's an enmity. I don't know what it is, a jealousy that it causes. But my friend, it was not that way with me and my stepdaddy. I looked at my stepdaddy. He was 6'4". He weighed 235 pounds, and it wasn't a beer belly. And there was nothing that could be done that I did not believe he could do. And I knew that he would do anything in the world for me. He was my lion. He was the rock of my salvation. And for once in my life, rather than living in fear, I was able to feel secure for the very first time. He's my lion. Well, that's the way that Christ is as a lion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why have we got to worry about somebody messing with us? What would happen if something came in and tried to get one of that lion's cubs? I'll tell you, the first thing that would happen, Mama would get a hold of him. But if it got by Mama, you can believe sure Daddy would be there to take care of it. Amen. There's comfort, John realized, in his presence. There's comfort in his pride. That's what they call it. His family. You know, we've got this rebellious agent in the world today that has a resentment for church. They don't want to go to church, but yet for some reason they believe that they're right with God and they are the church. You need to ask for scripture or chapter and verse. Amen. It's not there. I want to tell you, the lion has a pride. It consists of all of his wives and all of his cubs and everything, and nobody had better mess with any of his. Now, you can do a lot for me and get away with it. How much preacher? I don't know. Don't go too far. But I'll tell you this, if you mess with my wife, I hurt you. I'll say this, at one time I had a gun pulled to protect her and I would have fired it if necessity had arose. You don't mess with the lion's pride. You don't mess with his young'uns and you don't mess with his wife. Hallelujah. Now, who would be the equivalent of the lion's wife? The church! Hallelujah. That's us! People are dogging and rebelling and cursing the church. When my friend, that's the body of Christ. That's the bride of Christ. My friend, he'll do everything he needs to do to protect it. Amen. Well, preacher, that sounds like pretty good preaching, but what's that got to do with me? If you look at the right news sources, you'll find out they're burning churches in Canada now. They shut them down during COVID. They're open now. A lot of them are being burnt. They've been burnt. Now listen, they're old churches. Anglican churches, Episcopalian churches. Have you noticed this day and time, whenever a new church is built, it's never a Baptist church, it's never a Methodist church, and it's normally not an assembly church. It's either a grace church, or it is a community church, or a valley church. They don't want anything to do with the old church. Might better back up and take some inventory. You see, just because you start your own church so you can do things the way you want to do them, amen, don't mean you've really got a church. No more than a moose hall is a church. No more than an Elks Club is a church. Nor than a, more than a Masonic Lodge is a church. Better move on. We see the comfort of the lion. But then I want to talk for a few minutes about the counterfeit lion. Now, we read last week, or week before last, about a lamb. But that lamb was obviously a supernatural lamb. Why? Because he had seven eyes and seven horns. Seven being God's number, therefore implying completion and perfection. It was a supernatural lamb. Friend, I want to tell you something. No ordinary lamb could take away sin. Just read the book of Hebrews, amen. It took the Lamb of God to take away our sin. But then you go over to Revelation 13, and he said he saw this beast, and he said it looked like a lamb. Now that's a natural lamb. But he said the lamb spake like a dragon. Now you need to learn something. Learn it now. Learn it quick. Satan's greatest method of deception is imitating and impersonating God. Now, if you don't believe that, you go home and you read Isaiah chapter 14. Lucifer said, I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. He didn't say he'd be God, though that's what he'd love to have, but that was impossible. But he desires to be like God. Everything that God is, he wants to be, except with a selfish and an ulterior motive. Amen. When he tempted Jesus in the wilderness there, he carried him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then he said this, all this will I give you, for it's delivered unto me. That's what he said. I can do this if you will fall down and worship me. You believe somebody can think they're worshiping God and be worshiping the devil? Oh yes. Very much so, amen. Why? There is a counterfeit lion who impersonates God, but he's not an author of life, he's an author of death. Now we find that in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you'll flip back for just a second, you know it well. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Peter said this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, learn something right now. The Bible never says or speaks of Satan, the devil, that he is a liar. No. He says here, as a liar. He's not the lion. Amen. Jesus Christ is the lion, but he will impersonate him. Amen. He wants to look like God. He wants to be perceived as God, and he wants to be worshipped as God. First thing we note about him here, he says he's as a roaring lion. Now, there's three reasons a lion will roar. Number one, because he's afraid. If you spook a lion, the first thing he's going to do is roar. Amen? Amen. Well, you see, the devil doesn't have to roar a whole lot around us because we don't do a whole lot to scare him, do we? Huh? I want to tell you, when the devil will roar like a lion, he'll do it whenever you are threatening his kingdom. When you are threatening his rule and his reign. He'll roar when he's afraid. He will roar when he's hungry. What's he doing? Driving the prey out of the bushes to devour them. He'll roar when he's hungry. Hallelujah. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking to do what? He told us, devour, devour. Amen. You see, Satan doesn't matter. He doesn't care where you are when the pack comes out of the gate. He's only concerned that somewhere between you coming out of the gate and coming to the finish line, he can intercept you. You see, friend, it's not how you start a race, it's how you finish a race. Huh? You never hear or see anybody giving a medal that says, well, you know what? Man, they started fantastically. Here's a medal for that. No, the one who wins the race is the one who gets the medal. Amen. Amen. And so Satan roars as a lion, trying to flush those out that he can get his teeth into. His desire today is to roar and flush you out of the church. And he will tell you, you can be saved and not go to church. Well, you and I know that's true. Amen. But that's not the question. The question is, if you're saved, should you go to church? And there's only one answer to that, my friend. Absolutely. Yes! 95% of the time the word church is used in the New Testament, it refers to a local group of people. It never refers to the church as one individual. He or she was the church. So son, I want to tell you something. Satan will come in here and roar, do what he can to scare you out of here so that he might devour you. You know how many times people have told me, I know so and so, they got saved and they are serving God, they's on fire for God, then all of a sudden they were gone and they won't go to church no more, won't do anything. What happened? They got flushed. They got devoured. Amen. He roars when he's hungry. He roars when he's afraid. He roars when he's angry. You ever notice there's something particular that you and I do when we get angry? You know what we do? We raise our voice. Is that just me? My daddy said, he never said, boy, might be a good idea you stop that. No, he didn't. He said, don't do that. Raise the voice. Amen. building up that anger, amen. And the lion, when he gets angry, he roars as loud as he can and as often as he can. Now, I want to tell you what Revelation 12:12 reveals to us about what's happened to Satan, amen. It says he's been cast down to the earth and that he's full of wrath because he knows he has but a short time. He ain't taking it lying down. He's mad, amen. He's mad. Boy, all these rock stars, they make these records about death and all of this ridiculous stuff, and they have no understanding of what death is. Friend, we live in a generation that does not fear death. And the reason they don't fear death is they don't understand death. Amen? That's the sad thing today. The devil has a short time, and son, he's angry and he's roaring all that he can in these last days to take as many souls as he possibly can to the depths of hell with him. I want to tell you, death is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. They are both, the Bible describes, as enemies. Amen? He's a roaring lion. He's a ravening lion. If you go over and look, 2 Timothy chapter 4, last thing Paul ever wrote, he talked about a situation that he was put into, but God brought him out of it. And here's the way he described it. He says, he brought me out of the mouth of the lion. Hallelujah. Boy, I think about old Daniel. You see, the people that didn't like Daniel, because he was a righteous man, and the king loved him, and the king even acknowledged his God, they devised a plan to turn the king on Daniel unaware. And he said, "Oh king, let's pass a law that says that anybody in the next amount of time who prays to any God except through you, they'll be thrown in the lion's den." Well, I guess they caught him at a moment he wasn't thinking, because he said, "Yeah, that sounds good to me. Pass that law." But they did it to get Daniel, because they knew that Daniel was a man of faithful and constant prayer, that at least three times a day he opened his window toward Jerusalem and he prayed to the God of Israel. So they went to catch him. But no problem. He's doing what he always did. You know, for God forbid anybody come up on Sunday morning to my house and say, "Where's Donnie?" Don't know where I'm at. Because I'm always at the house of God. Amen. Unless something happens, amen. They knew it. They came, and sure enough, there he was praying. They ran right to the king and told him and said, "Now, king, you said this, and it cannot be reversed because it is a king's decree." So he's got to go in the lion's den. Old king, he looked for every way he could to get out of it. And there was no way out. He went to old Daniel and he said, "Man," he said, "I hate this. I have spoken advisedly and I have got myself in a mess. But Daniel, I've got to throw you in there." But he did have a little spark of light in him. He said, "But I know a little bit about your God." And he said, "I know that he is able to deliver you out of the mouth of these ravening lions." So they took old Daniel, throwed him in there. He probably said, "I'm tired anyway. I can see him," throw him inside the door, and he just sits down, leans up against the wall, and they let the lions in. They're roaring. They're stomping. They're smelling. They're looking. Then they come over to old Daniel. "I believe I'll taste this old boy." But whenever the first one tried to open his mouth, God shut it. Do you know why that happened? there was a bigger lion in there with Daniel that was on his side than all them lions that was in there with him. And that big lion, he shut every one of them's mouth, and they couldn't devour old Daniel. Hallelujah. Son, the king came to the point of time when the time was up. There was old Daniel. Now, the liars who started this fuss, they paid the price for it. They were eaten by the lions. Amen. The devil is a roaring lion. He's a ravening lion. But he's a raging lion. The devil hates you. You know, was it Isaac Newton or who that said for every action there's an equal and opposite action? You see, for everything that God wants to do, Satan has a counterfeit or a counteraction for what he wants to do. And we see that here in the life of Daniel, amen. And the reason that he's the way that he is because he's full of rage. He knows he has that short time. He knows that he's losing grip, that he's losing ground. Now, I know the world looks like it's going to hell, and he's having his way. But that's why you've got this book of Revelation, amen. We've got the rest of the story. Joe Biden may think he's running the presidency. Nancy Pelosi may think she's running the House of Representatives. Chuck Schumer may think he's running the Senate. But they're all fools if they believe that. And rather than becoming instruments of God, they've rejected God and they become instruments of a counterfeit lion. Now, do you know how society and even the government is manipulating the system so that you and I will do what it wants us to do? It is threatening us. If you don't agree with them and what they say, it's going to cost you your job. It may cost you your retirement. It may cost you everything you have. So you might ought to change your mind about what you think about society's morals. I'm going to tell you something Jesus told his disciples. This world has nothing for you. This world hates you. And the reason it hates you is because it hated me before it hated you. He said, in the world, you're not going to have a party. You're not going to have a good time. You're not going to have a lot of success as far as the world's concerned. But I want you to know something. You will have a whole lot of tribulation. What he said was this: the world's going to reject you because it rejected me. And when the world tries to conform you to its morals and its governmental system, what it's trying to do is to mold you into the image of their God. We read about a king, King Ahaz, in Sunday school this morning, that offered his children up in the fire to a false god. That's always an indication of a reprobate society. They have no reverence for life, and their children lose their preciousness. Well, preacher, don't preach on that. What time is it? Well, I'm going to quit right here. We'll finish up another time about the lion. But you need to see something. You can either have comfort in the lion, or you can have disaster and destruction in the lion. Now, you have two choices. Here they are, as plain as I know to put them. You will either be delivered by the lamb that was killed, or you will be destroyed by the lion that is king. What's the title, the nickname of a lion? king of the jungle. You ever feel like you're living in a jungle? You know, we live in one of the best places I believe anybody could live. I'm a Mississippi boy. I like Mississippi, but I like where I'm at here in the country. Amen. And a lot of the things that happen in the world don't affect me directly right now, but they will. They will. Why? Because there's a roaring lion out there that thinks that he's God, and he's doing everything he can to destroy everything that is godly, everything that is righteous, and everything that will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, I turned when I heard about the lion. Or as we can tell from the chapter, he didn't see. Instead, he saw what? He saw the Lamb. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, before they ever face the lion, they will face the Lamb.
Amen.
I used to tell the prisoners this, boys. I didn't mean it disrespectfully, and I always explain that. There's some point in every man's life where his path and God's path are going to cross. And when those paths do cross, God's given you an opportunity by opening your eyes to see the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. To understand that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That He came into this world, my friend, to die in their place and to bear their sins and everything that separates them from holy God. So that when He comes back as a lion, He won't have to destroy him. You see, the world today views Jesus as a natural lamb. They can't see him as a supernatural lamb. He's weak. He has no power. He has no authority in my life. Ain't that the way you was before you got saved? That's the way I was. And they view God as weak, and they view you as weak. God's people's weak. But I'm going to tell you this. When they stand before the great judge, and they see him not as a lamb that was slain, but as a lion who is sovereign, it's going to be a different story. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I forgot to put that mic on. I dread standing before God when I look back on my life and see how little I've accomplished as a man of God for him. I don't look forward to that. I hope God was able to do something. And sometimes we could wish there was no judgment. But then when I look at this wicked world and these evil people who hate God, they hate America, and they're trying to drag us down to the sides of hell, I want to tell you, I look forward to seeing them stand before the lion. I want to see them who cuss the lamb stand before the lion and try to open their mouths. You know what John did when he saw Jesus in Revelation chapter 1? He said, I fell down on my face like I was dead. That's somebody who walked with him for at least 3.5 years. Probably more. What's this ungodly, unsaved bunch of wretched politicians and corrupt preachers going to do when they stand before God? Many of them with millions and millions of dollars. And some of them even with billions of dollars. They're going to answer for every dime. But they're not going to do it facing a lamb that was slain. They're going to do it facing a lion who's king. Now, my simple question to you this morning. Have you ever met the Lamb? Oh, you've met Him. If you haven't, you're meeting Him this morning. For God's path and your path are crossing. And whenever that happens, there's a decision that has to be made. When God reveals Himself to you, through Jesus Christ, His Son, who died on a cruel cross, shed His blood, died as a criminal, tortured, killed. You've got to do something with that. Now, here's what you'll do. You'll ever say, God, I see it. I see the Lamb.
I see that he was killed, he was slain for me. I want to know that man.